How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A regular series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer continues here in the last few minutes of the program. We're going to be turning to the Ten Commandments, to Exodus chapter 20. Now, someone might say, look, I understand what you guys, a laudable goal trying to find Jesus all over the Old Testament, and I'm sure you can find him in all these prophecies and these promises, and even in figures and types and all the other places. I've listened to your series, so I know you're able to do that. But the Ten Commandments is a more difficult nut to crack. That, after all, is the law. And how could we possibly find the very essence of the gospel, Christ, in the Old Testament, in the law, in the Ten Commandments? We shall see. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is a regular guest. He joins us every week for our Christ in the Old Testament series. We're in Exodus chapter 20. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And he's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here, Todd.
How do you respond to that objection there that someone might raise here and say, look, I understand finding Christ all over the Old Testament, but the Ten Commandments is kind of off limits because that's the law and Jesus is all about the gospel?
Yeah, I wonder if that person would say, could we find Nehemiah here in the Ten Commandments? So, I don't know. But I think that there is a mechanical kind of understanding that you have this passage like this. This is a law passage, so this is a mean God, and Jesus is a nice God, and so Jesus is the God of love and the God of gospel. And so this is a God of thunder and lightning who strikes fear in people. So there may be a kind of a mechanical misunderstanding of how this law and gospel actually functions in the Scripture. But this passage itself, it is the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments show us our sin, because as it shows us how we have failed, what we are to do, it shows us that we are in need of a Savior. So yes, it's true, that's what the Ten Commandments do. But in the perspective, first of all, that we need to realize that these Ten Commandments were given to the people of Israel when they were delivered from Egypt. And so it's not just an imperative rules and regulations that somewhere in the midst of the desert, something just happened and they decided to say, well, let's make up some rules. Instead, what this is these are the people who have been baptized in the Red Sea. And so after being baptized in the Red Sea and being rescued, being redeemed from this house of slavery, now God is the one who brings them, and he is gathering them, and he comes to them in his presence. And so God is there in the midst of his people, taking them out of darkness and bringing them into his light. And so all of this shows forth who God is and what God does. And this is really what we need to look at, the context of the Ten Commandments. Instead of just seeing the Ten Commandments as something that you would post up on your wall, that these are the ten rules and regulations of this household, instead we need to understand the context, that this is Yahweh who saves. This is Yahweh who delivers, who redeems from the house of slavery. And in that context, this is where we will see Jesus.
So let's start. You say we ought to start with one, and I think we need to clear up something here as we begin. We recently had someone, and we'll be talking a lot about the Malach Yahweh, that is the angel of the Lord, and God speaking as a messenger, his own messenger. We had somebody recently on the comment line say they were confused, and it was just kind of a simple confusion. They said, I hear Pastor Ketchelmeyer say Malach Yahweh, and the only Malach I've ever heard of, this person speaking as a former evangelical, is this Old Testament deity, terrible deity that required child sacrifice. How would you clear up that kind of simple confusion of words that sound the same?
Oh, Fair enough. Yeah. So what this individual is most likely thinking of is Moloch, this deity, this pagan deity, Moloch, which is also known as Baal. It is this this deity of thunder and lightning. I mean, this is kind of this king of the deities, if you will, in that whole area of Philistia. And so Moloch, of course, is the one that you offer up this child sacrifice to. Now, Moloch is really this god, Moloch. And so to make kind of a distinction and pronunciation, as we're talking two different words. And this is the problem we have when we take the scripture from the Hebrew, and sometimes we transliterate. That means that we take English equivalent letters and we just replace the Hebrew letters. And then we create this English word that's really a Hebrew word. But then other times we decide to translate and actually give the meaning in English of what the Hebrew word is. And so when I say Moloch Yahweh, this is messenger of Yahweh. Moloch, that's the deity that this individual is probably thinking about. But I intentionally say that because I want us to understand that this is the messenger. And I think that part of our problem is that in our English, when you get these different English translations, they will typically translate it as angel. And immediately in our American context, when we think of an angel, we think of things like a Hallmark or the Highway to Heaven, where you have the TV show with the angels, or Angels in the Outfield, or whatever it may be. Is typically when we think of angel, we think of a created being. And so this is why I'm trying to emphasize that the word angel means messenger. And the word messenger in and of itself is not a created or an uncreated being. The messenger is one who brings a message. So you have to look at the context of the passage and see, is this messenger giving the message, is this a created messenger? Like, for instance, King David can send a messenger. He can send an angel. Or even in the book of Revelation, you talk about the pastors at the various churches called angels, but we usually refer to it as messengers because they're the ones who proclaim a message. And so with this word messenger, what is key to understand is there's a distinction being made between the person who is speaking the message and the person who sent the messenger. So this is why messenger of Yahweh is very important, because it helps to teach us this distinction in persons, that the Father sends the Son, that the Son is not the Father. Instead, the Father sends the Son. The Son is this messenger that is sent to speak this message. And so that's why we use this a lot, to understand that clarity here, that there's a distinction in the plurality of persons of the Blessed Holy Trinity.
Okay, speaking of the Trinity, then, we have here in Exodus 20 really a as explicit as you get in the Old Testament reference to the triune God doing the speaking here. Take us in there, if you would.
Yeah, and again, this is why I want to emphasize that in Hebrew, when we translate this word Elohim, we translate it as God. But technically, this word Elohim is a plural noun. And so this understanding, if we were to translate in English, it would say gods in the plural, because it's a plural noun. And you might get people confused. But we want to understand this plurality of the deity in this understanding of the three persons of the triune God. And so when we talk about Elohim speaking these words, this is spoken by the triune God himself. This is a plurality of persons, and God speaks in unison. Now, you say, well, where can we find Christ in the Old Testament? Well, we need to be very clear on this, is that we cannot separate the Father from the Son or the Holy Spirit. So wherever we find God, we find the Son of God. And wherever we find the Son of God, we find the Father and the Holy Spirit. So all three are always present. And so for us, in the New Testament, when we have this clear revelation with the Incarnation, because it's with the Incarnation that the mystery is revealed to us, that the Father sends the Son. And the Son is the one who then dies for us, rises again, and then he pours out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So we understand the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. And so Elohim speaks here in Exodus 20, just like Elohim speaks back in creation. You have, and the way that distinction is made for us is that you have God, you have the Spirit of God, and you have the Word of God, all bringing everything into existence. So this is the same Elohim that created all all things is the same Elohim who is speaking now to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. And in fact, in Exodus 20, verse 11, we tie in and say, in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So that when we have this understanding that as the people of God, we are to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, that we remember the Word of God, who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to say to us. And this takes us back to creation. And so you have the plurality of Trinity there in the creation, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity. All three persons are there active and involved in the creation. And in fact, throughout the Old Testament, it's made clear that all three are also present and active in the Exodus out of Egypt. And one of the most beautiful passages for this is Isaiah 63, where we have this distinction of the persons, that you have specifically the messenger of his face. Now again, this is angel, the angel of Yahweh's face. And so the messenger of his face is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And you also have the Spirit of Yahweh was there in the Exodus. And you also in Isaiah 63 refer to Yahweh our Father. So you have all three persons of the Blessed Trinity there in Isaiah 63 as he recalls and they remember the Exodus, who God is and what he has done to redeem them and to rescue them out of Egypt.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Thursday afternoon, March the 5th. We're in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. More with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer right after this. Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism Giant Poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Small Catechism Giant Poster. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Spending some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer doing our series Christ in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, talking about a bit of the context, very important context, especially when it comes to who is actually speaking here. Take us into that, if you could. You say this is the pre-incarnate Christ, and I think this is a very valuable point to make with people, that the one who speaks with Moses on Sinai is none other than the second person of the Trinity. The very Word of God delivers the Word of God. Take us into that.
Yeah, so Exodus 20 opens up with, you know, Elohim speaks, and then now he says, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Okay, so this is which Elohim we're talking about, not any of these false Elohim. And this is the problem when the Israelites get into the Canaan, is that they go and they see all these other deities, and they say, sure, we worship Elohim, and it may be a plurality of gods or whatever it may be. But we want to be very clear that this is Yahweh Elohim. And to confess that name Yahweh is to confess that this is the one who brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so this is none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity who comes to Moses, who is visible, who is tangible, that speaks with Moses. And as we've said before, no one has ever seen God, yet Moses sees God. So Moses sees the second person of the Blessed Trinity on Mount Sinai. And here he is speaking now to Moses and says, and he sends Moses as a messenger. So now Moses is sent to speak this message to the people, to speak this word of God. And so the word that Moses receives from is that I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is who I am, and this is what I do. Now, to tie in later on in Judges chapter 2, this is, of course, plenty of time has gone by since the death of Moses, and then now you have the death of Joshua, who led the people into the Promised Land. But in chapter 2 of Judges, the kind of this beginning where these people are going astray and they forget all of this, they forget Yahweh, they no longer remember him, they no longer continue in his word, and you have the second person of the Holy Trinity, then he reveals, he comes and he appears to the people there in Judges chapter 2, and it says specifically that the messenger of Yahweh went up from Gilgal to Bochim. Now, again, we want to be clear, as you look at this text, this is not a created angel, but this is the uncreated God, the one who is God by nature and in truth. And so he speaks, this is the messenger of Yahweh, and he says, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And so this messenger of Yahweh is not a created angel, but this is none other than the second person of the Trinity who brought the people out of Egypt, who came to them at Mount Sinai, who was seen in this pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and he delivered them, he rescued them, he redeemed them. And so this angel then says in Judges 2, I'm the one who did this, and I'm the one who gave you this covenant. Well, that's what's taking place here in Mount Sinai, is this covenant is being made with the people, that God himself is making this covenant, he has delivered the people, and now he gives them a new identity, and he is now making this covenant with them. In fact, when you later on you look in the New Testament, you have in that small little letter of Jude, you have the same teaching that is given to us, just to clarify, that this Jesus that we confess as raised from the dead is the same one who is eternal. He is the eternally begotten Son of the Father. And so Jude tells us, he says, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And so you have that same tie-in with the book of Judges, of course, in the wandering of the wilderness, that this same Jesus who saves us now and delivers us from the house and bondage of the devil is the same Jesus who has been doing this since the beginning. and you see this in the Exodus out of Egypt. And so it's the same person who does this then, now, and into the future.
Now, you even say that there's a distinction of persons in the Holy Trinity made there in the various verses of Exodus 20. Where do you find that?
Yeah, so we want to follow the text, and we want to learn from the text and say, what is the Holy Spirit teaching me? So, of course, all three persons of the Blessed Trinity are here. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspires Moses, of course, to write this, and the Holy Spirit is the one who is active as we hear and learn and listen. He guides us and he teaches us as we receive this word from him. And so what is it the Holy Spirit wants to teach us? Well, in verse 1, we have the speaker saying, I am Yahweh your God. And then in verse 5, the speaker says, I am Yahweh your God, I am a jealous God. And then in verse 6, Yahweh says, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so now here we see this teaching of a distinction in persons of the Holy Trinity, that Yahweh is speaking about Yahweh as one person speaks about another. And so you see this throughout the whole Old Testament, where Yahweh is the speaker, but then yet Yahweh talks about what Yahweh is going to do, or how Yahweh will bring salvation. But here in this passage in particular, you have the Son speaking and saying, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. So he teaches us this distinction in persons, the one who is speaking and the one who is spoken about. You see the same thing later on in verse 10, where Yahweh is the speaker, and Yahweh says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. Or in verse 11, Yahweh says, for in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Or later on, of course, in verse 12, again, Yahweh is the speaker. And Yahweh says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that Yahweh your God is giving to you. And so what we see here is that Yahweh is speaking about Yahweh as one person speaks about another person. So we have that clear understanding here that you have the speaker and the one who is being spoken about. Later on in the same chapter, Yahweh is speaking, and he'll end where he will say this. He'll say that I cause my name to be remembered, and I will come to you, and I will bless you. And so later on, the speaker is speaking in the first person, but here he's teaching us a distinction between persons, that Yahweh speaks about Yahweh.
This message that the pre-incarnate Christ comes to bring, what is the message that we find there in the context of the Ten Commandments?
Well, it's the message of freedom. This is the message of liberty to the captives, that he is proclaiming this, that the captives have now been released, that slavery is now a thing of the past. And so this is exactly and precisely what Christ does from the beginning, is he comes to deliver, to rescue, and to save. He is Yahweh's salvation. And so he's proclaiming who he is and what he does, that now you have been freed from the tyranny of Pharaoh. And so this word here given to us is teaching us who is speaking. The speaker is the one who delivers. He's the one who rescues. And then he says, now that you have been rescued and I have taken you to make you my people, now this is the way, the new identity that you have now in my kingdom. And so all of this is showing us this, the kingdom of God that's coming, where he takes us out of darkness into his light. And when we look at a passage like this, deliverance from Egypt, this Pharaoh and Egypt are kind of the epitome of all the pagan kingdoms that have been blinded by the devil that are trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming. Now, God's kingdom, of course, is a spiritual kingdom, and it comes by the preaching of his word. And what is Pharaoh doing? He's refusing to listen, and he's trying to hinder the hearing of God's word by God's own people. And so in all of this, we see the same God who acts in the beginning, acts in the Exodus, and acts in the incarnation. In fact, that's what we have on the day of Transfiguration, when Jesus is yet again on the mountain speaking to Moses, and he's speaking to Moses about the Exodus. And so this is what we have here, is he's the one who is giving the message of freedom and deliverance.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break, 10 more minutes with him, in our series Christ in the Old Testament on this Thursday afternoon. It's the fifth of March. We're talking about Exodus chapter 20, going through the context of the Ten Commandments and finding Christ right there, both giving the Ten Commandments and also what do the Ten Commandments say about Christ himself. We'll get to the answer to that question right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Vision casting leaders in the church. Differences between men and women. Naturalism. Biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Ten Commandments, our series on Christ in the Old Testament. You know, part of the content of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, which is actually the Catechism, the Small Catechism of Luther, laid out in a giant poster for instructional purposes, is, of course, the text of the Ten Commandments. It's part of those six chief parts: the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. That's what you'll find there on this giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. You can call them and order one for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You talked earlier about that message of freedom that Christ brings. Is that exactly the same freedom that Paul is describing in Galatians 5, where he talks about for freedom Christ has set us free?
Yeah, see, again, this exodus and this deliverance out of Egypt is showing us a greater deliverance, a greater freedom, a liberty that God himself gives. But both of these teach that God is the one who delivers us out of darkness and puts us into his kingdom of light. And so in the New Testament, we have this fulfillment, whereas in the Red Sea, in the water there, they were baptized into Moses in the cloud. But now in holy baptism in the New Testament, baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul talks about the freedom that we have in Christ, that he has now set us free, this is directly in this understanding of those who have been baptized have put on Christ, that we are now this new creation. And so when Paul is teaching us about what it means to be baptized with a new identity and belonging to God, he makes it clear that therefore do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but instead you are to serve one another. And specifically, he goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which, of course, is the summary of that second half of the Ten Commandments, that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, the first half, and the second half, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So they say, in the same way, Paul goes back to the core of what the Ten Commandments are about. It's about serving your neighbor, so that we understand that the Ten Commandments do not gain access to God. The Ten Commandments do not gain extra credit points with God, that we can be holier than God. Instead, we already have access because of the Son. The second person of the Trinity is the one who comes to the Israelites to make them his people, to make them his holy possession, to redeem them. And he does the same thing in our day in the waters of holy baptism. He's the one that gains access for us with the Father. He's the one that gains favor for us with the Father.
Is that why, is it a sidelong reference to baptism that when the pre-incarnate Christ appears there at Sinai giving the Ten Commandments and the covenant, he comes to them wrapped in, clothed in thick clouds?
Yeah. This mystery of the thick clouds, of course, with the clouds you have rain, and with rain you have water, and with water you have life. I mean, of course, all this is connected. But he comes in the clouds because you cannot fully see him. And so he sees in a way that he can be seen, because God, of course, is invisible. And so when we look at the Old Testament in these types, these pictures, they're pointing us to the reality that will come, that the invisible God will become visible in the flesh. And so you have the cloud on Mount Sinai, but it's the same thing that happens on the Mount of Transfiguration, that it's in this cloud that Peter, James, and John are there with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And so the cloud is there, which shows to us this the presence of God, because it's visibly, tangibly. And so on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's making a direct connection to what took place at Mount Sinai, that we would see the same second person of the Trinity talking to Moses on Mount Sinai as he's talking now at the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he comes in this cloud, but yet now we have seen his glory. And so now we see his glory in the incarnation. But then they don't see this glory in the same way in the flesh. So that's why we say pre-incarnate Christ. But yet he is in the midst of his people. He comes to them. And so this shows to us this mystery of the incarnation. And when you look at chapter 19 of Exodus, Yahweh is speaking to Moses and says, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever. And so he's going to come in this thick cloud. And this is what we have in chapter 20, that the people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick cloud where Elohim was. And so he's there present. And later on in Exodus 24, it's the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord dwells on Mount Sinai, which of course is the second person of the Trinity. And the cloud covered 6 days. And the seventh day he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And so all of this cloud and this darkness is surrounded in mystery, that they cannot fully see God, this beatific vision, this side of heaven because of sin. So it is God who has to come down to us in flesh and blood. In the incarnation, he comes to dwell with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He comes for us. And so this is how we are then able to approach God. It's Jesus who provides for us this access to God. But all of this is tied into understanding who God is, that God comes to us as the one who perfectly does all that the Ten Commandments say. It describes who Christ is, the one who alone perfectly keeps all of these Ten Commandments, so that when we understand what true humanity is supposed to be in the keeping of these Ten Commandments without sin, we then see it in Christ when he is born of the Virgin. And so this whole episode is tied to Deuteronomy 18, in which the people were telling Moses, you go into the darkness of the cloud, because we don't want to hear God speak to us anymore. You speak, and we will listen to you. And so in Deuteronomy 18, this is where Moses assures them that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see the great fire any more, lest I die. See, because of our sin, we cannot see God. God has to come to us and reveal himself, appear to us, and all of this is set up so that we understand the mystery of the incarnation, that God must become man and dwell among us in order to take us back to God.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss overcomplicated motherhood with Ann Ilona Mussman. We'll talk with Chris Rosebro on This Week in Pop American Christianity. And since it's Friday tomorrow, we will play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.